Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gland Pharma Limited Q3 FY 2021-22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumanta Bajpayee, Vice President, Corporate Finance and Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vidisha. Wish you all a very happy New Year and a warm welcome to Gland Pharma's earnings call for third quarter financial year 2022. We will begin this call with business highlights and overview by Mr. Srinivas Sadu, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, followed by financial overview by Mr. Ravi Shekhar Mitra, our Chief Financial Officer. After that, after the opening remarks from management, operator will open the bridge for Q&A session. Before we proceed with the call, please note some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking and are based on management current expectations, and these must be viewed in conjunction with risks and uncertainties involved in our business. The safe harbor language contained in our press release also pertains to this conference call. This call is being recorded and the playback shall be made available on our website shortly after the call. The transcript of this call will be submitted to the stock exchanges and made available on our website. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Thank you all. Over to you, Mr. Sadu.
Thank you, Sumanta. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings call for third quarter of fiscal 2022. I would like to start by wishing you and your families a very happy New Year. Every year that passes teaches us something afresh. The last year has given a greater sense of purpose to us at Gland. Our employees understand the impact their work is making in supporting the healthcare infrastructure globally. We are starting this new year with renewed optimism to accomplish many more milestones together. We would like to wish good health to our investors and analysts. We have seen the Omicron variant of COVID-19 virus spreading across the globe recently. While in most cases the symptoms are mild, following the COVID-19 protocols and vaccination must remain the key priorities. At Gland, we continue to follow all COVID-19 protocols to ensure safety of our employees. Almost all of our employees are vaccinated with two doses of vaccine. While there were some material supply delays experienced during the quarter, there are significant delays from prefilled syringe supplier. Our teams are constantly communicating with our vendors to address the issue. Looking at our business, we continue to maintain the growth momentum this quarter, Q3 FY 2022, with a revenue of 10,633 million rupees. That is a year-on-year revenue growth of 24% for the quarter Q3 FY 2022, which is also a growth of 28% for the nine-month period FY 2022 over nine-month period FY 2021. With a PAT of 2,730 million, we saw a year-on-year PAT growth of 34% for the quarter Q3 FY 2022, resulting in also a growth of 26% for the nine-month period FY 2022 over nine-month period FY 2021. We have generated rupees 6,127 million of cash flow from operations for the nine months FY 2022. Our emphasis on life cycle management of products and continued focus on revenue diversification across geographies is helping us move forward with a strong footing. I'm glad about our R&D team's ability to ensure timely completion of developmental projects despite the ongoing pandemic. In terms of our R&D progress, we have completed ANDA filings for the four complex injectables targeted to be filed in this financial year during the past quarter. The other development projects are also progressing in line with the project plan. We made 18 ANDA filings during the quarter and also filed three DMFs during the same period. We have filed a total of 27 ANDA filings during the nine-month FY 2022 quarter, a period as compared to 19 ANDA filings during 9 months FY21. We also received 4 ANDA approvals during the quarter. Our R&D expenditure for Q3 FY22 was Rs. 699 million, which is nearly 6.6% of our revenue from operations. For 9 month period upon excluding capital R&D expenditure, the R&D expenditure stands at 4.5% of our revenue for the period. Full fiscal year 22, R&D expenditure as a percentage of revenue is expected to be in line with our historical trend. As of 31st December 2021, we along with our partners have 309 ANDA filings in the US and 1552 product registrations globally. We have completed technology transfer and submission batches for Sputnik Light. After successful clearance of samples from Kasauli and joint inspection of our drug substance and drug product facilities by CDSCO and DCA during the quarter, we just received the export NOC for 50 million doses from CDSCO. We hope to receive the manufacturing license soon to initiate manufacturing of Sputnik Light vaccine. Let me take you through the business highlights across various geographies. With respect to our rest of the world markets, our strategy of expanding our product portfolio in identified geographies has shown good results. We have further strengthened our presence by winning new tenders in our markets. This business accounted for 19% of our Q3 FY22 revenue as against 13% of our Q3 FY21 revenue. We have seen 88% year-on-year growth in revenues for the quarter. Our key markets continue to remain MENA, LATAM and APAC. Among our key products, inoxaparin sodium was the biggest contributor to growth for the rest of the world markets. Our ability to manage our supply chain efficiently has helped us to meet the shorter delivery times required for rest of the world markets. Our strategy for our key markets, namely US, Canada, Europe and Australia, has shown good results with a focus on ensuring timely commercialization of pipeline and lifecycle management of existing products to ensure market competitiveness. Our key markets accounted for 63% of our revenue during Q3 FY22 as against 70% during Q3 FY21. The new variant of COVID-19 impacted offtake of our core portfolio in the regulated markets. We have seen 10% year-on-year growth in revenues for the quarter. On including India sales for our core markets, the year-on-year growth is at 18%, which is a function of our strong execution capabilities despite the pandemic. The US market has registered a year-on-year growth of 23% for Q3 FY22. The key products helping us achieve this growth include Micafungin, Ketorolac, and Heparin Sodium. In line with our growth targets from new launches, we launched 6 molecules during the last quarter. India market accounts for 18% of our Q3 FY22 revenue, out of which domestic markets account for 6% of sales and Indian sales for export markets account for 12% of our sales. We have seen 31% year-on-year growth in revenues for the quarter on account of volume growth of existing products. Azapanam, which is a new launch this year in the US, has shown strong demand from end market. As we continue to scale our operations, our quality and regulatory teams have ensured our quality systems and standards are replicated across additional capacities being established. There were times during the last year when we were operating with less than optimal manpower, yet the quality systems stood the test and ensured compliance. All our plans continue to remain approved by USFDA. Our customers are conducting audits regularly and our team continues to remain prepared for any audit. As we can see from the progress on R&D, our near-term focus on establishing a strong portfolio of complex injectables is progressing in a timely manner. We are also looking at acquisition opportunities to help expedite the development process. At the same time, we are also working towards charting down a roadmap to establish the biosimilar CDMO vertical. Collaboration with established biosimilar players and acquisitions can help us accelerate the push in this regard. We remain optimistic on the prospects for this year and hope to continue the growth momentum for all our stakeholders. I once again wish everyone good health. On that note, I would like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ravi Mitra, who will share some more insights about our financial performance for the quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sadhu. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for attending our third quarter earnings call. Let me start by sharing the financials of third quarter and 9 months period of current financial year. Revenue from operations for the quarter 3 financial year 22 stood at rupees 10,633 million, a year-on-year increase of 24%. We achieved steady growth of 10% across our core market of the US, Canada, Europe, and Australia. ROW market continues to record a robust growth of 88%. Our India market, which also includes ultimate sales for US, witnessed a growth of 31%. Revenue from operations for the 9 months of fiscal 22 stood at ₹32,977 million, a year-on-year increase of 28%. Other income for the third quarter was ₹457 million, which includes interest on fixed deposit of ₹342 million and foreign exchange gains on operations of ₹86 million. For the 9 month FY22, the other income was ₹1,587 million, of which interest on fixed deposit of ₹1,033 million and foreign exchange gains on operations of ₹520 million. We have reported an EBITDA of ₹3,946 million in quarter 3 FY22 compared to ₹2,994 million, which is an increase of 32% compared to same period last financial year. EBITDA margin for Q3 FY22 stood at 36% as compared to 33% for the same period of previous financial year. EBITDA for the 9 months ended December 2021 was ₹13,205 million compared to ₹10,621 million for the same period last financial year, a growth of 24%. We have reported EBITDA margin of 9 month FY22 at 38%. Our net profit for the third quarter was ₹2,730 million, a growth of 34% compared to Q3 FY21. During the quarter, we have recorded PAT margin of 25%, which is an improvement of 180 basis points compared to same quarter previous financial year. During the 9 month period of current financial year, our PAT was ₹9,258 million, which is an increase of 26% as compared to same period last year. The total R&D expense for the third quarter were ₹699 million and stands at 6.6% of the revenue. As mentioned before by Mr. Sadhu, during third quarter, we have filed 18 ANDAs as compared to total 9 ANDAs during the first 6 months of the year. In third quarter, we have incurred higher filing fees due to increased number of ANDA filing, and that has resulted higher R&D revenue expenses as compared to first two quarters average R&D expense by ₹299 million. The total R&D expense for the 9 month period was ₹1,714 million compared to ₹916 million during the same period of the previous financial year. It stands at 5.2% of the revenue. Our effective tax rate remains at about 25% in third quarter and for the 9 month period of the current fiscal year. Cash flow from operations during 9 month period was ₹6,127 million. Cash flow from operation has improved during third quarter due to reduced inventory level and receivables position. Net working capital has reduced to ₹19,227 million as on December 31st compared to ₹20,334 million on September 30th, 2021. Average cash conversion cycle stood at 190 days for the 9 months ending December 2021. Which is in line with the same period last financial year. Inventory level has reduced compared to previous quarter end and hence has enabled us to improve overall cash conversion cycle. All our planned capex are progressing well. Total capex, including routine maintenance capex incurred during the year till December 2021 was ₹4,547 million. Our ROCE on cash basis was at 34% on an annualized basis for the 9 month period of this fiscal year. Our fixed assets turnover stood at 3.2 times for 9 month period of current financial on an annualized basis, which has increased from 2.9 times for the same period last year due to increased capacity utilization. As of December 2021, we had total ₹32,846 million of cash, which we intend to utilize for CAPEX and to fund our inorganic growth strategies. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitya Balasubramaniam from Boston Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations on another good quarter. My first question is on the complex injectables. Can you tell us what these products are? You've told us what the addressable market is, but can you throw a bit more color?
Yes, there are three hormonal products and one complex peptide. The addressable market is around $1 billion for these four products.
Are you willing to talk about what these molecules are?
No, we can't tell it. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Are these Gland's own ANDA or partnered products?
Gland owns ANDA.
Got it. So my next question is on the biosimilar / vaccine investment. If I heard you right, you have the export permission now for up to 50 million doses. However, you're still awaiting some additional manufacturing license to start exporting. There is still a hurdle to start exporting.
No. So the process is, initially we have to, once you make batches, we have to submit samples to Kasauli, and then in parallel you have to submit an NOC that triggers an inspection. And that's what happened, and both sides got inspected, the report went, and then we got issued actually NOC this morning. Now, along with this NOC, we have to submit for a license, which is more a documentary protocol, I would say. Then the license will be issued. Then we have to go and discuss with RDIF on supplies and where to supply. So hopefully now we should start manufacturing as soon as we get manufacturing license.
So over what time frame do you expect to supply this 50 million doses, and do you have commitment from RDIF that there is demand for 50 million doses of Sputnik?
Yeah, so we have a contract in place now that we are waiting for the NOC to get, so that we'll initiate the discussion. So since it's just come up only today, we won't initiate dialogue, but I'm sure we are positive that it might happen in next 4 to 5 months. And there is a demand, what we've been discussing with them, there's a demand in some Asian regions where access to the vaccines is not there for some other vaccines.
Got it. If I might squeeze just one more in, I think if your eventual intent is to repurpose this facility for biosimilars or a biologic CDMO, and the tech transfer process obviously takes, depending on the product, 12 to 15 months. Have you already started conversations with biosimilar players, and is there anything you can talk about it at this moment?
Yes, we do, and I know there's good interest we are seeing, not just outside India, even some of the Indian players who want to enter in this space are discussing with us. And some of our subsidiaries of parent company as well.
Any deals that have been signed so far?
No, not yet. It's just because, we still waiting for a clear-cut idea on the vaccine production and how much demand. So unless that is there, we don't want to enter the deal so that it will not impact the timelines.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Thavkar from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just could you reiterate our progress on the biosimilar front in terms of like say where we are in terms of mAbs, insulin, the cell therapies, the E. coli technologies, probably also some virus manufacturing technologies, and so if you could just give us update where we are in that entire journey.
Yes, Ashish, you know, as we reiterated earlier, you know, we are not into the development of products, right? We are only doing the development work for other companies. While we have created the R&D team and a manufacturing team to address all the technologies, we will not be developing on our own any product portfolio. So we'll be doing a service for the biosimilar companies, unlike the generic injectables where we're also developing products.
But any timelines, so like this is the question which is asked always in the con call, but any timelines you would like to share as to when can we see that first dollar revenue coming in for us?
We want to have a wrap-up of vaccine project by end of this year, at least third quarter or so, and then start working on the biosimilar end of this year. So hopefully in the first quarter of next year, we should see something happening in this thing.
Okay. So one last question on this narcotics. Any update, how are we planning to take ourselves ahead, whether it could be through M&As, acquisition of technologies, anything on that, those fronts would be helpful.
Could you repeat that, Ashish? Sorry.
Anything on the narcotic space in the US, which is obviously a complex area and we are willing to take ourselves there. So any progress and how are we planning to take ourselves into the US market probably?
Yeah, narcotics more than a complex area, I think, you know, because it has to be done locally in US. That's the key issue. So, you know, we're still actively looking at assets. COVID didn't help us because there's travel restrictions. But still, it's I would say, in, you know, we're actively looking at assets in US to address this market.
Okay, yeah. I have more questions. I'll get back to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saiyan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you and good evening. Sir, on the ROW markets, we have seen, you know, steady performance around 200-250 crores for the last 3 quarters. When do you expect a step up in sales in ROW going forward?
So, Dushar, what's the clear question? Sayan, what's the question again?
No, so I was asking on the ROW markets, you know, you have a quarterly revenue run rate of around 200 to 250 crores. It's been steady for the last 3 quarters. When do we expect any step up in ROW revenues?
So, if you see, year on year, we are growing very well. And, you know, the business is that, you know, we need to, we want tenders and they start supplying in different quarters. And there are the countries where we have tenders for 2 years, 3 years. So where they have just started in say, last quarter. So it's a cycle. So you will be seeing the step up from April quarter because normally it's a year-on-year growth you see for our kind of business.
Okay, great. Well, on the US market, in your commentary, you didn't talk about enoxaparin as a growth driver because I understand you had some supplies to Fresenius. So if you can just take us through what's happening in the US overall. I mean, the exports from India part has also sort of seen a good leg up. So if you can give some more color as to what is sort of driving growth, what is dragging down. Any commentary on the US, any details would be helpful.
So we, even in my last con call, earnings call, I did mention, you know, some of the contracts what we want for some of the products. Mycofungin is growing very well. You know, if you see year on year, it's almost 200% growth. We have two major contracts in place. Enoxaparin, again, is driving growth because of the last contract we have. We have several launches. If you see the growth of US 23% year-on-year. Majority has come from these products, right? Products, if you see like dexmedetomidine, we have few very good contracts in place. That has gone very well. Ertapenem, we got contracts. That is doing very well. So 4 or 5 products which are large are doing extremely well, and that has contributed to the growth of 23% from the U.S. market. Even the back products where we were having the capacity utilization of 25-30%, today we are almost hitting full capacity. We got contracts in some of the back products as well. So they have really contributed to the growth. And we have several launches coming in next few months as well. The market size of that is around 1.4 billion in next 9 months in terms of launches.
Sir, if I can ask one more question on gross margin, it's been pretty steady. Any comment on raw material price pressure? How should we think about gross margins in the quarters ahead?
For gland, you know, even I've been talking about this earlier, gross margin is a little irrelevant because of our model, because we have a what you call a varied model where we do contract manufacturing where the gross margin is 100%. We have a licensing income which is 100%. Where we have tech transfer projects where is a different set of gross margin and our own products. So whenever the mix changes, the gross margin looks different. It doesn't mean that there's a pressure on gross margin. Unlike other companies where, you know, 100% of business comes from the product sales. So we normally have to look more about EBITDA and PAT. And if you see that, it's steady. Considering the 18 ANDAs we filed in this quarter, which is almost the filing fee itself costs you around 30 crores, right? A normal run rate per quarter for filing fees is around 5 to 6 crores, but this quarter has been heavy in terms of that. It will help in the growth of the business, like you said. So if you see last year, entire year, we have filed 21 ANDAs. This year, we might file about 28-29 ANDAs. So there's an increase of 7 to 8 ANDAs. And the bulk of it has happened this quarter. If you consider the expenditure made on the ANDA filings, you know, we adding that to the patent EBITDA, it's in line with the historical trend.
Okay, sir. Thank you, and I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kadam from Canara Robeco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving this opportunity. I have two questions. One is on the enoxaparin. Maybe 10 days back, we had this news from the Indian government issuing some kind of a notice on the, like, banning that particular export. So does it impact us in that particular thing? Do we come under that particular gamut under that notice? And the second question is that we had guided earlier that our China commercialization, the first product launches could happen by the end of FY22 or the start of FY23. Does that timeline remains steady?
So on the enoxaparin, there are two things, right? One is prohibited and the other is restricted. What this product has fallen into is a restricted category. Because of the COVID situation, just as a precautionary measure, government has put that under restricted category. So we have to file a document to get an approval for an export. But as of now, they are not really restricting any shipments. And with the amount of number of suppliers in India, we don't foresee any shortage happening in Indian market. So the impact won't be that much, I would think. So as of now, it's normal business. Only if some shortages happen in Indian market, that's when I think they will look at restricting it. As of now, there's no restriction to export.
So does it happen? So like every shipment, then we have to take an approval because it's into restricted category then?
No, not every shipment. Whenever we import components or materials to export, we get it under advanced license. So So they actually approve the advance license, and whenever you file for shipping, you have to mention that advance license number, and that will clear at the customs. So it could be 40 batches or 50 batches at one shot. Once you have given advance license approval, then you can ship whatever covered under that advance license.
So in this last 10 days, as a regular shipment, nothing has impacted our regular flow or shipments to our respective customers?
No, no, no impact yet.
On my second question, sir?
On the China piece, we're still waiting for the first approval. There's one piece which still deliberation is. Normally, NMPA does inspect the facility first time when they approve a product. So it's under that deliberation whether it has to be a virtual audit or a visit. Visit could be a problem. So I think it's that stage. Probably if that gets cleared, then this product might get approved.
So the timelines could get a little deferment?
Yeah, it might defer, but we did say that the first quarter of next year could be the time when we commercialize. Probably we'll get more clarity. It might happen or it might be pushed by a few months, but we'll give a better clarity in the next earnings call.
Okay. Sorry. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. So just on your four complex injectables for which you have done the filing, the total combined size of the addressable market is $1 billion. Is that correct? And that's a gross number by IQVIA, so the net number would be what, 25%-30% lower?
Yes, I think that could be the correct. But most of the time, these products have lesser discounted, so it's closer to the IQVIA numbers, especially products which are single source.
Okay, got it. And are all four of them without any generic, or there are some players there in the market?
No, these are not generics yet.
Oh, excellent. And what could be the approval cycle timeline for this?
Normally, for complex, internally, we are assuming 2 years. It depends on the first response we get from the agency.
Okay. And sir, how do you see the competitive outlook for these four products? Like, when you reach the market, would it be one- to two-player market, or you think there are more people in the queue?
It's very difficult to say because a lot of people are talking about complex injectables. We have started this program a few years ago. So while we have filed for this year, next year, we have a pipeline of filings, eight complex products. So it's very difficult to say because the companies are working on products. If you look at the total portfolio, there are 35, 40 complex injectables. So you don't know who are actually working on which products. So it's, I can't really comment on how many players will be there.
Okay. That's very clear, sir. So one last one from my side, and that is for your, the base business, all the injectables in the regulated markets, some 250 odd, approved ANDAs. So, as more and more Indian players, broaden their portfolios, are you seeing competitive, pressures over there in the market? Are you seeing a higher price, price erosion? Your thoughts on this would be great. Thanks.
So there's very easily a price pressure, for any product once it gets genericized. But because of the business model, our impact of the price pressure is lower. If you see our growth has come almost 17-18% from the volume growth. And the new launches growth has given around 6%. So majority of the growth has come from either new launches or volume. The prices have remained same or it's 1% down, right? So the impact is lower for us because of the business model what we have, because we are protected by the transitors model we have, and the profit share component for us is smaller part of the entire business, about 10%. So even the impact is lower. And because of multiple players, we have partnership with several products. We kind of average out the price pressure.
Okay, very clear, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just clarification again on this Sputnik in terms of the timeline for starting the exports. Like 3-4 weeks timeline, or can be faster than that?
I wish I could do tomorrow, Tushar. once we get a manufacturing license, then in parallel we are discussing the RDIF on countries to which we have to start exporting. Then we have to start manufacturing. The manufacturing process from the minute we start the drug substance to finished product itself is about 45-50 days. And then okay. The samples have to be released by Kasauli and also Gamalia, Russia. So that's another 30 days or so, the dispatch may happen actually the first part of next quarter than this quarter, but at least the manufacturing will happen this quarter.
Understood. And just coming back to the complex generics filing, are these products into the shortage list which can compel USFDA for inspection or early approval if at all the file is more or less appropriate?
No, because these products are filed from same lines and approved facility. So this doesn't trigger any inspection as such. It all depends on when they want to inspect because, of course, we have one of the key injectable suppliers in the U.S. market and a lot of products goes from the sites. We got inspected in 2019 last. So in 22 anyway, it's due. We have to be ready whenever they want to come. But this for sure will not trigger an inspection, but normal course of business, they might do an inspection this year.
Understood. And lastly, on enoxaparin, where on 4Q onwards, you have to start the incremental order flow on this product in terms of gaining the market share from, let's say, the previous supplier. So is that on track or... on account of COVID-related hiccups, is that getting pushed or kind of preponed for Helena?
No, in fact, if you see our numbers this quarter, even in enoxaparin for US has gone up. So we already started catering to that demand, actually demand for the new contract what we have. More will come in from next quarter, but the impact has already started. We start supplying from last quarter more quantities to US.
Understood. And just lastly, there has been a good increase in the ANDA filings after maybe almost two, three quarters. So is that kind of pent up into this quarter itself, or with the production bit easing on account of COVID, or how do we look at this, the pace of filing?
No. So we will never try to postpone any ANDA filings. Whenever it has to happen, we do that. Because of four complex injectables, the development took longer time. If you see last year, it was only 21 ANDAs. Normal, our target is around 24. We did 21 last year. So complex injectables takes longer time to develop. So these were in pipeline, and these got ready to file this quarter. So there were additional filings which has happened. And, depending on when the stability gets over and the ANDA batches happens, that's when we file it. So it just incidentally happened this quarter, and that's why it like bulked up in one quarter, this 18 ANDAs and 3 DMFs.
Thanks a lot for addressing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Agrawal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. The question is related to complex peptide that you have filed this quarter. So, sir, are you developing the API on your own or you are sourcing it from a third party? Thank you.
Oh, these are outsourced, Vivek.
Okay, so basically, is it fair to assume that for the API, as far as the peptide filings are concerned, so most of the products, for example, APIs are outsourced?
I'm sorry, Vivek, it is breaking up. Could you repeat that?
So for all the peptide filings, so are you basically depending on the third party API? Is that assumption correct?
Not all peptides. Some of the peptides we buy intermediates and then do a final steps. But more critical APIs, yeah, we do. We are dependent on external sources. But that's one of the areas we are also looking from acquisition perspective in the long term.
Thanks, sir. That answers my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Dhamija from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you can provide color on what was our profit share this quarter?
You want the number, profit share number, or you want the percentage?
Percentage.
It's 8% contribution for the revenue.
Okay, just for this quarter. And for the 9 months also, it would be similar?
No, for the quarter, it's about 10%. For 9 months, it's about 8%.
Okay, sure. Okay. And the second question is on the biosimilar side. So, obviously, we have cited some timeline, but I think there is also, and we are also in the discussion with various companies, but I think there is also another aspect in terms of regulatory clearance of the facility, right, and which also takes time. So the current conversations you are having with prospective clients, whether these are for the ROW markets or for, let's say, Europe market or US market?
So these facilities are designed for regulated markets. So it will be good enough for all markets from regulatory inspection perspective. Local inspection perspective, we already got approval clearance from the inspectors for the vaccine. The facility is safe. It's just that we need to give cleaning air handling for a month, and then we can start the biosimilar production. But for the design of the plant is as per regulatory requirements for the regulatory markets.
Sure. And these regulated market inspection would be triggered after you have certain products which gets manufactured or certain contracts in place, or this can happen before as well?
So the two things, right? One is mostly it's the customer approval we need once you sign a contract. It depends on the type of work you do. If you want to take a pilot scale batches, which the product has to be given to humans, then you need a regulatory approval. But otherwise, any development you do in R&D or batches for animal studies, you don't need a regulatory approval for this. The approval from the client is good enough.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Javani from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. Now with respect to the biosimilar CDMO business, you indicated that we would not be involved in product development and these products would essentially be tech transferred products where we will be providing fill finish services to some of the other players. So because this will be a tech transfer portfolio where you will be providing fill finish services, do you think that the biologic CDMO portfolio would be a lower margin business for us and hence it will be margin dilutive for us?
Yeah, so there are two or three different aspects here, right? One is the products which are already generic, I would say, if you really call it, the rituximab, the trastuzumab kind of products. Doing work for them, whether it's a tech transfer and you try to get cell lines from the client and then do a scale up on the substance and then do a fill finish. But the other key aspect is the new drugs, not the generic products. That's where the focus is now.
So all the companies who are developing new drugs, they look at the development work to be done at the smaller companies like us, and you know, and they'll give you know, we act as a service provider for that. You know, they will, whether it could be cell line development or whether it could be scale up batches, or sometimes they have done already cell line. Do we do the drug substance scale up or we do the pilot scale batches? So several dimensions business. But mostly what we are looking at is working with companies who are working on the new drugs and lesser on the genericized biosimilars, if I would say that.
Okay, so that essentially means you would be targeting some of the wave 2 biosimilars which will go off patent, but you also indicated that the revenue accretion from this project could start in 12 to 18 months time. So how do you tie in that, given that some of these products which you might be targeting will be going off patent only post FY24-25 timeframes?
Sorry, I think you missed one point. See, what you're saying is you're not worried about the commercial production yet for these products, right? We are looking at development, scale-up. And then some might, you know, not every product you do development work at a CDMO will actually get commercialized. It's a little different than the generic business. Some will pass through the animal studies, some will pass through the human studies, and some may not. And only the product where it will get through all this, then it will get to commercialized production. So it's mostly we're working on the development side, scale-up side of the business. And whichever product is successful, that's when it gets to the commercialized stage.
Sure, sir. And with respect to the U.S. business, if we look at the developed the U.S. business, which is booked as part of our developed markets business, the U.S. business has been flat quarter on quarter despite the incremental supplies which you have done on enoxaparin for the additional contract. So what has led to sequentially the U.S. business being flat?
So the quarter-on-quarter, we really should not compare because, you know, it depends on what kind of products got dispatched that particular quarter. Are there any launches during that quarter? So it depends on how many products gets launched in a particular quarter. So we should always look at an annual basis then which gets averaged out, you know, whether it's in India filings or whether it is... some of the high-value products might have dispatched in a particular quarter, may not get dispatched, and the quantities also might vary. It all depends on the timing.
So, sir, one last question from my end. So this is more of a bookkeeping question. Now, over the last two quarters, you have started calling out the sales which is being booked from India for the export markets and specifically the U.S. business. So the growth numbers which you are reporting for U.S. is including the proportion of sales which is being booked from India. And we have seen this, that you have started doing this only over the past two quarters. So has anything changed with respect to how you account for these sales, which has led to some sort of disclosure being made in this way?
So if you see two, three years ago, the business what was happening to Indian companies to the U.S. was minimal, not that much. Few products got sold by Dr. Reddy's in that market. But we have done a lot of... contracts with different companies, Indian companies, over the last several years, that kind of started to sell. So it's only fair to say that, you know, because the products are ultimately sold in U.S., and that is also generating the growth and the product, for example, Ertapenem, it's licensed to an Indian company, and, you know, that is selling well, and we should not take that away from the U.S. business, because now there are several products which we don't license to U.S. companies, only to Indian companies. And, you know, that should not curtail that. And because the volume of business is a set of products, volume is growing in a large way. So we thought the investor should know how much actual domestic product is going to the U.S. market. Because there will be an ambiguity around, are we growing 30% in Indian market? No, it's only smaller portion of our business. Most of the business, what we're doing today, shown as India, actually is going to the U.S. market, but billed as INR.
Okay. So just one clarification on that point. So the U.S. market sales, which we are booking as part of the developed market portfolio, does that mean you don't book any sales to the Indian companies as part of that developed market portfolio? So all your sales, which is happening to Indian companies, is getting booked as part of the India sales only?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
It's always booked as India. We're only saying that part of that India, X amount, so much percentage and so much quantity for the U.S. market. That's what we are saying.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on yet another set of good numbers. Consistently, we have been getting good numbers post-IPO. That's great, sir. Keep up the good work. And, sir, one thing I just wanted to know about was the what is the compliance status of ours? Because I believe, and we have a stellar track record of maintaining great compliance since 2003, if I'm not wrong. And what are the factors behind it, and any inspection in offering and post-pandemic FDA approval, FDA team coming up?
Yeah, so it's all our sites are FDA approved. Many of them are approved by other regulatory agencies as well, and it's intact. In fact, just today we have just finished our building, one the main plant inspection from ANVISA, physical inspection. This is the first inspection post-pandemic, I would say. We had Russian inspection, but more virtual, and some other inspections virtually. FDA, we don't have an inspection. We did receive some questionnaires for some of our APIs as we sent you for inspection and last year, and that was submitted. Other than that, I think everything is in compliance, and even the inspection with ANVISA went well. So that gives us confidence that in spite of no inspections from regulatory authorities for the last 2 years, we are in line with our compliance record.
Great, sir. And sir, what has been the Fosun contribution to our growth ever since they took over our company, and what has changed since then, and how's their growth mindset, and any entry in China or rest of the world market, they're opening doors for us, or any positive development?
Yeah, so I know if you really see, it's not just before at listing, even before listing, we've been growing for 3 years. Yeah, correct. So the investments what we made, whether it's infrastructure and the portfolio and the plan we made for, you know, long term, that's all coming to fruition. And post Fosun, it really helped us in some of the markets, because if you see the sales in some African markets has gone up very well, where Fosun's network we have been trying to sell our products to. China market, we never looked at that market actively before. Currently, we are looking at it because, like you said, 1/3 of global injectable market comes from that market. So that's a great help in that sense. And M&A, we don't have much experience in that side as well. So we get a lot of help from that, looking at the different assets and evaluating and during diligence activities. So the several areas where we cooperate and we get help from them.
And sir, lastly, sir, what are the CapEx plan and any concern on the increasing competition intensity in the injectable space for us, sir, from Indian companies and other companies also?
So Mr. Roy will address the CapEx plan, but from competition perspective, I've been saying, any new competitor is good for us, because we get one more partner whom we can license our products to.
On the CapEx plan, so we have spent about 450 crores in 9 months and would be spending another 100 crores in this quarter. So that would take care of the 550 crores we initially indicated for this financial year CapEx plan. So mostly it has been incurred on the vaccine facility in Pashmilar and expansion. Next year we are estimating about 300 crores of CapEx for further setting up the lines in Pashmilar. And also on the API side, we are adding capacity for more vertical integration. So that is the CapEx plan for this year and next year.
Dividend, any plans, sir? Giving dividend?
Dividend, I think the board has to deliberate and decide. We cannot comment anything on that now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand, you know, basic question that, you know, we've been doing great growth and we have a good selection of products. But what we hear from, you know, the large Indian pharma companies also is that second half 23, they are also coming with complex injectables. Do you think from 23-24, the competition level will increase and our long-term growth can taper a bit just from the base business, not the biosimilars?
I mean, competition is coming from last 3-4 years. And, you know, like I've been saying, our model is different. We are front, not a front-end company, so we cater to different companies. So more competitors will come. We have products to license to this company. That's one. The portfolio build-up happens to any company over a long period of time. You know, it took us so many years to build 300 odd ANDAs, right? So no company can build, can develop so many ANDAs in a year. So they also take time to go to that stage. And the throughput we gave and the technologies we have across different formats, it takes time for any company to do it. So we're not that worried about the growth. Of course, the base is increasing, so not just the portfolio will help us grow the way we've been growing. So we are looking at different avenues, because and that's one of the reasons we've been focusing so much on geographic growth drivers, and the areas where we have not touched upon yet, right? I mean, if you look at the products what we have launched, it's only about $5.9 billion worth of products. And we're talking about 130 billion across the globe. So there's a lot more to do, and I think you know, a lot of catching up to even for us, and you know, even more for companies who are coming new.
Well, that was very you know, elaborate answer. Thank you for that. And secondly, on biosimilars, so I heard you saying that currently we are you know, adding capability of fill and finish. So what is the 3-5 year plan? Are there any therapeutic focus, autoimmune or otherwise? And do we plan to do the complete DS and drug product as everything, or we would carve out our specialty in part of the business?
No, in fact, we are doing both DS and fill finish, not just fill finish to start with. The vaccine DS plant, what we have created, that will be converted to DS once this vaccine project gets over. That's the plan. So from beginning itself is a combination of both DS and DP. And I think that's where also we have a little advantage over a lot of other companies with the track record we have on the fill finished. So it's not just fill finished we're looking at, both DS and DP.
And sir, the product selection, I mean, is there a therapeutic focus? Are we looking at large products already identified, or we are looking at the second wave which are yet to see any biosimilar entry? How are we thinking about product selection and therapeutic selection?
And like I said, you know, this we are not getting into the development of products. So whichever clients want a portion of that work, so we'll be acting like a service provider for them. Unlike the business what we're doing today, where we do both, you know, we do service as well as we do develop products. But for CDMO biosimilars, the idea is to work as a service provider for other biosimilar companies.
Okay, got it. And lastly, sir, on the free cash flow generation, how do we think to use the cash over next 3 years? I mean, would it be largely for capex and part of a dividend, or I mean, we are open to looking at large assets as well?
Yeah, so we are, you know, primarily we have to look at areas where we can, you know, fill gaps what we have. There are several areas where we don't have capabilities yet to injectables. To build that, it might take US to fast forward that we have to acquire some assets. So there is a primary focus on that. Without putting too much pressure on the balance sheet, we are getting risk covers in terms of what we have to buy.
unless it fits perfectly into our long-term strategy and where we have gaps, that's where we're looking at from an acquisition perspective. And also the investments into complex injectables will be higher compared to normal injectables. So investments will go into that. But we'll evaluate on the dividend and all that when the time comes there, and the board has to decide based on the cash flow we have.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for all your answers.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumanta Vajpayee for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your participation during the call. I request you to get in touch with me if any of your queries still remain unanswered. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.